Being 6 o'clock, we'll call the city council meeting for July 15th, 2020 to order. Starting with roll call.
Jason Hartman.
Here.
David Lindley.
Present.
Ashley Post.
Here.
Joe Turkowitz.
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right. Now we'll start with public comments. Jan, you said you had some to read into the record.
I just have one. It's from Callie Kurtz. It says, good evening, White Salmon City Councilors. In July 2019, you signed a diversity and inclusive resolution. Yet in the past year, we have not seen movement on this work. System racism and white supremacy are still dominant cultures in our community. Our Black, Latinx, First Nation, and cultures of color face this systemic racism and are forced to navigate through white supremacy culture. COVID-19 has only drawn more attention to these issues as these communities are vastly inequitable, receiving the hardships of the virus. Our Latinx community has been hit especially hard by systemic racism here, which has placed them in positions that are most vulnerable to contracting the disease, dying from it, and also being in jobs that have been eliminated by measures to protect the community without economic protections to support them in order to support the needed closures. Just a minute.
Okay. Thank you.
Already, people are still coming in, so.
Okay.
Already placed in economic hardship by the systemic racism within our community, COVID is only exacerbating these inequalities. As the Black Lives Matter movement has spread across the country, you have remained very silent on the matters of race. The silence speaks volumes about white supremacy and complacency that helps keep our systemic racism in place here in the Gorge and in White Salmon. The resolution you all signed is just words, and the words listed are not very specific, nor call attention to the real racial issues and inequities we face in White Salmon. I am very disappointed that new resolutions, plans for creating equity plans, plans to redo the budget, and work to dismantle systemic racism and white supremacy are not actively part of your agenda or work plans. Emily Zenobia, a woman of color who lives in a town similar to ours, speaks about small, active, progressive towns, and I found her words better than mine at describing what is happening here in White Salmon. As a person of color, she can truly articulate her experience. And this is a quote from Emily Zenobia. Over many years, I've witnessed your triumphant and inspiring capacity to grow forth in the context of the outdoors. However, this has led to a collective complacency around real issues that exist within and outside of our bubble. How can we ever begin when mantras like no bad days and good vibes only guide so many? I need you to see the privilege stitched into such attitudes and dig deeper to root out injustice like it's your job. How about trading out such mantras steeped in toxic positivity for a rooted understanding that no one is free until we all are. Though sad, I'm unsurprised by the level of silence coming from a community that holds much currency, both monetary and social. I need you to shake yourself for paradigms of living that leave you indifferent, apathetic, and complicit. And for those who offer support and feel that you as an individual are on the right side of the issue, graciously I ask you to continue talking with your family and friends. This is a movement, not a trend, a movement to root out and rectify legacies of injustice, oppression, theft, and murder. Call in your community and speak up when you encounter conversations that you deem merely tone deaf. Do not brush it off as, that is just so-and-so just being themselves. In fact, these seemingly inconsequential moments carry a ripple effect that signals to that person and others that such beliefs and positions are acceptable. And for the love of all things sacred, stop obsessing about getting it right. You get dirty for fun. Lean into these messy conversations. We in this town have a genuine issue with toxic positivity, an entrenched sentiment that because we have it so good here, we somehow should only hold gratitude and not take away from the present comforts by bringing up such unsavory topics and issues. We who are so good at pursuing our physical discomfort must better practice sitting with our mental discomfort. So I urge you, keep chasing the tough conversations and commit to action. And then this is back to Callie Kurtz. As she asks, we must commit to action. We must have these tough conversations. We must make tougher policy changes and resolutions, follow them through with comprehensive plans and actions in the name of racial justice and dismantling white supremacy. As city councilors, you all need to use your power and privilege, recognize the oppression that your positions are causing, and dramatically alter course to restructure our community, so that as your resolution states, White Salmon is a town where all human rights belong to everyone equally. We are far from that place here. We need your acknowledgement and dedication to do the work to call out racism in all its spaces and in all the work you do. I invite you to start tonight as you decide who will be the next counselor. Ask yourselves, who is the person that is anti-racist and will stand up to dismantle systemic racism and white supremacy when it is uncomfortable, when it challenges their power and privilege? Then turn the question back on yourselves and commit to making yourself uncomfortable and changing the system. Each topic you speak about tonight, start the conversation with how does this disproportionately affect communities of color in our community? And then how are you and what are you going to do to change that? Think that it doesn't disproportionately affect communities of color? As Emily highlighted, dig deeper. Callie Kurtz, White Salmon resident. And just as a comment, Callie does not live in the city limits of White Salmon. She lives in the county.
All right, thank you. Next up, are there any changes to the agenda?
Yes, we have the one I sent to you earlier. I think I sent it yesterday or late Monday afternoon. Adding the change order for Jewett Water Main Project to the agenda, and it would be probably added after the cost-sharing agreement.
Okay. Sorry, do we need a motion for that?
Just a consensus.
Do we have a consensus? Anybody object to adding that to the agenda?
Jenna, could I ask you to mute your video at this time? Thank you.
Okay, we'll add that to the agenda and start into the business items. First item is the appointment of city council member position number 4. And I believe we go right into the interviews, is that correct?
That's correct. And for those listening, we have 3 candidates. We originally had 4 candidates. David Derrick has withdrawn his application. We will go in alphabetical order, starting with Dr. Susan Abernethy, then Jenna Newcomb-Barkheimer, and then Jim Rancier. And as we did last time, we asked people to leave. So I believe I can place people in a waiting room. Let me try that right now. Yes, so Jenna, I'm gonna put you in the waiting room for now, so you won't be able to listen in on the interview. And I'll do the same thing with Jim Rancier, if I see him. And then let me find Dr. Abernethy. And this is Dr. Abernethy. Is that how you say your last name?
Yes, Abernethy.
Okay, so she's ready to go.
All right. First off, thank you very much for applying. That's
yes.
Brave.
I've never met a challenge I don't accept head on, so that's great.
Awesome. Okay, we'll jump right into the questions. And I don't know if you've seen we have set questions that we'll ask to each applicant.
Yes.
And starting with number one, what prompted you to apply to serve on City Council?
What's prompted me is I've been very involved in different public service initiatives, both at the federal level and at the state level, but I have not been involved locally and really am spending more time in the community, really want to be part of the community and share my experience and expertise bringing groups together with the City of White Salmon.
What do you see as the role of City Council?
I think the role is complex. It is to provide both representation of community voice in tackling the issues that the city faces. It's providing guidance and oversight to the public service officials and helping really look at how we can move White Salmon forward and bring in the voice of those people, as was said in kind of that letter, that don't necessarily look like us or are actively engaged in community government, and how we make sure that they're represented in the decisions that we make.
Have you previously attended any City Council meetings? And if so, what issues or topics compelled you to attend?
So I have one. I was struggling to attend many because I commuted to Portland for a period of time and that was difficult to get back. But I participated or listened in on the one where we were talking about the bag ban. In part, what prompted me is, again, trying to look at environmental impact and what we can do long term, weighing out the impact that it has on those for whom resources as simple as, you know, a few cents may have made a difference in their lives, as well as the economic impact of and environmental impact of banning bags. So,
what do you see as the city's most pressing issues?
I think it's twofold. It is, one, our public works as we grow as a community. How do we balance the growth in a way that our infrastructure can support? Looking at the state of some of our roads and how we can continue to grow budgets and be able to build the capacity to keep up with some of the new builds that have happened and growth in both the city and the county and the wear and tear that that has. And then I think, again, as most communities are now facing, how do we better bring in diversity, equity, and inclusion in our decision-making process and create a platform and a space for community members to share their voice, particularly when some of the methods in which we've collected that information may not be attainable to everyone.
What experiences from your personal/professional life do you see as strengths in shaping how you would approach serving on City Council?
I have served, as I said, both on national and statewide committees. I have a background both in consulting and in the private sector in building voice amongst stakeholders. So I have a lot of experience of bringing together different voices, creating vehicles and platforms for people to share information, and in leading conversations in a way that tries to bring in representative voice, and then conflict resolution and decision making is all part of the work that I've been doing for probably the better part of 15 years.
What do you hope to accomplish if selected to serve on City Council?
I think, again, part of what I hope to accomplish is, one, personally learn a lot more about how we can better plan for the growth of White Salmon, both city and county, because it's going to happen. As we look at the land that's available in our area, more and more of it is being taken up by new residents coming and joining our community. So how do we prepare for that? And how do we also look at building a community that can welcome all of its citizens and really bring their voice? And so I really hope to find ways to do that. I've worked with the Latinx community for about 7 years. I'm bilingual in Spanish and English. I do that work on a daily basis and understand the barriers that our community faces when they are of a vulnerable population or different resources. And while I can't speak for their experiences, I know how to bring their voice to the table and would love to have a more inclusive conversation.
All right. That concludes the questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And can I just ask a point of order? Are we able or willing to stay through the end of the meeting? Will you be contacting us after? How are we proceeding from here?
Yes, you'll go. I believe she'll go to the waiting room.
The waiting room. Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm new with this. But I did forget one thing. I meant the last one is: do you have any questions for us, the City Council?
So in part, what is your process after this evening? Is it an immediate vote, in which point you'll notify us? And then as it's an interim position, I'm assuming the appointment becomes effective immediately until next December. Just a little bit of understanding of that process would be helpful.
There does have to be a swearing in. So I think the swearing in still has to be in person. Do you know, Jan, if that was ever modified?
Yes, it does, and we'll make arrangements for that to happen. I'm going to be on vacation next week and the following week, so we'll get whoever's appointed sworn in either tomorrow or Friday.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, and the decision will be tonight. We'll vote. Okay. There's a tie. I imagine there's a tie-breaking procedure that I don't know about yet.
Robert's Rules of Orders always has a way. That's great.
And the council will, they'll go into executive session to discuss qualifications. They'll come out and they'll actually make the motion to appoint someone publicly. You'll be out of the waiting room in the meeting, and you can stay, the meeting's public, so you can stay as long as you want. And you can, with Zoom meetings, it's very easy just to quietly bow out.
Exactly.
Okay.
Wonderful.
So if you'll mute your video, then I'll move you to the waiting room.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you all for the consideration.
Thanks again.
So Jenna, I hope you can hear us, but if you would unmute both your audio and video, then you'll be next for the interviews.
Okay, yes, I can hear you guys. I was having trouble connecting on my laptop earlier, so I had to switch to my cell phone.
All right, great, thank you. Thank you for applying. We appreciate it very much. We'll go through a set of questions. I think maybe you have questions before, I hope. They're pretty straightforward. First off, what prompted you to apply to serve on City Council?
Well, I've always been in leadership positions for multiple different areas in my life. And so I thought that when I saw that there was a position for leadership in the city open, that I wanted the opportunity to serve the city. I wanted the opportunity for more involvement in our community and learning about how city business operates.
What do you see as the role of council?
What I see as the role for City Council, if I were to be part of it, you guys are the voice of the people of the city of White Salmon, especially when it comes to collaborating with other municipalities. And you guys run city business, you do codes, you do management of those codes. And that's what I know about City Council at this point in time.
Have you previously attended any City Council meetings? And if so, what issues or topics compelled you to attend?
I was at one, I believe it was a combination city council meeting with the Skyline Board of Directors 2 summers ago when they were talking about the hospital's financial position. It was at the city council headquarters, and it was at the same time that you guys would hold a city council meeting. I'm an employee of the hospital, and I went to that because I was interested in understanding what the hospital's financial position was, because there was a lot of rumors at that time, and understanding what the community's concerns were regarding where the hospital stood. So,
what do you see as the city's most pressing issues?
I think that the three things that I wrote down is tourism and how do we survive through the COVID-19 pandemic. Attracting businesses to the city of White Salmon and to downtown how do we make our town most attractive to businesses so that they want to be here, and then supporting of current businesses that are already here. Those are some of the three things that I think that are pertinent.
What experiences from your personal slash professional life do you see as strengths in shaping how you would approach serving on city council?
Well, I have quite a bit of leadership experience for volunteer positions at this point in time. Most recently, I was the spokesperson for the hospital for COVID-19 updates for at least three, maybe four different radio interviews. And I currently am the president for the Washington State University Alumni Association, Columbia River Gorge. I was previously vice president for Arizona and Oregon chapters. And then I was given the opportunity to start a club out here. And for my profession, I'm a physician assistant, and I participate in the Washington Academy of Physician Assistants Legislative Committee, where we did the PA Lobby Day this year. Essentially, I got bent out of shape about a state law that I wanted to see about changing that affected me in a rural town and providing care for rural communities. And so I joined the legislative committee to see how I could work on that. And so I participated in PA Lobby Day at the state level in Olympia, and then I worked with the Department of Health Trauma Committee. So far, I haven't gotten the law changed, but I have participated in several meetings with that. And then I'm also the current vice president of the Skyline Foundation.
Great, thanks. What do you hope to accomplish if selected to serve on city council?
Since I have no prior experience working with city government, I want to participate as a team member to conduct the city business. I don't have any one single issue to bring forward right now, but I am very interested in learning more about city council, learning more about city business, and how the city council works as the voice of the people for the local citizens.
All right. Well, that's all the questions we have. Do you have any questions for us, city councilors?
I do. I've done some research on LinkedIn, and so I understand where most of you guys work professionally. What are your previous experiences in leadership, and how did you guys become city councilors? What took you to that point?
Good question. For me personally, I was involved in a nonprofit preschool of things. That was my only sort of nonprofit leadership role. Otherwise, I've been in business and had various leadership roles in business. I was interested in the city because I loved salmon and just wanted to be more involved. Ran. That's for me. How about you? Ashley,
sure. So Jenna, I don't have a lot of past leadership experience. My interest in running for city council was mostly because there was a need and an opening, and I felt like I had a lot of ideas to contribute and just care about this community. So that was my main interest in joining.
Great.
Joe?
Hello, Jenna. I've been involved in numerous building projects downtown, and I saw a parallel between managing a build project and being able to provide some semblance of that in a city government position. And there was a need, much like you, I went through the same process, and I just had the interest and went forward with it.
Great. As far as the city council's role, sorry if I cut anybody off. What is there anything else that you guys do that I'm not aware of?
That's a loaded question because we don't know necessarily what you're aware of.
I mean, as far as like city codes and management and that kind of a thing, that's what I'm aware of, I guess you could say. So I didn't mean for that to be a loaded question, but I guess what other roles do you guys play besides running city business and passing resolutions and that kind of a thing?
Yeah, but mostly, you know, the mayor is responsible for directing staff. The city council is responsible for being for the, you know, voting for on laws and things like that. If that's kind of where you're going,
okay.
And our mayor Marla is on maternity leave, and that's why I'm stepping in his backup. But Ken, maybe you want to address that.
I can weigh in on that. I'm the city attorney. One of the most important roles of council is they hold the purse strings for the city. So all financial transactions have to be approved by council. The council has a high obligation of oversight for all financial matters. So that's a very important responsibility of council. Besides, they're generally a very, very much the policy body of the city. They, as you said, are representatives of the citizens, and so they carry forth the important policies of the city and essentially codify those for the citizens, and also adopt resolutions for internal use. So that's a, in a nutshell, really a lot what the council does.
Okay, I'm familiar with the financial oversight piece from the foundation. So, okay, thank you.
Very good. Okay, thanks very much. So I think you'll be placed back in the waiting room while we interview one more candidate, and then we'll go from, and then we'll let you back in, I believe, after the vote.
Great, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So Jim, if you can hear me, why don't you unmute your video and your audio?
Hey Jim.
Jim, oh, you need to unmute your audio.
Great. There we go.
We got you loud and clear.
Awesome.
Hi, everyone.
Hey. Hi. Hey, thanks for applying again to serve on City Council. Really appreciate it. Sorry it got pushed out a meeting. I hope it wasn't too inconvenient.
Don't worry.
Questions? We'll ask them anyway. First off, what prompted you to apply to serve on City Council?
Yeah, so when I heard about the most recent vacancy, again, I got excited because it feels like serving on the council is something that I could do that would be meaningful and significant as a way to contribute to the community. So my professional career revolves around project management, problem solving, and service, customer service, which I believe are very relevant skills as a council member. And obviously, I think 2020 has definitely brought into focus how we help our community during uncertain times. So I'm motivated by a desire to help and a desire to be curious about all points of view, and knowing that our city has plenty of opportunities ahead as we emerge from this current crisis.
What do you see as the role of City Council?
So I see the council first as a voice for the residents of White Salmon, meaning we would listen a lot to community feedback, and whether that's in council meetings or on the street, social media, email, the news, the council can support, obviously in partnership with the mayor and the city staff, in delivering on objectives, whether that's infrastructure, growth planning, or the budget. And lastly, there's, you know, the fiduciary responsibilities to ensure that the city manages expenses and revenue responsibly.
Have you previously attended any city council meetings? And if so, what issues or topics compelled you to attend?
Yes, I have attended some city council meetings. The first time was in June 2019 when there was that initial veto of the Pride Month proclamation. And I was concerned about where the city had landed initially there. Having moved to White Salmon with my husband, believing the city to be a welcoming community, I think that issue in particular was very personal and counter to what I believe was true about our community and our city. Thankfully, the council resolved that issue respectfully and with a lot of thought from everyone on the council and spent time on it. I often read the minutes to the meetings, so I stay up to date on the city business just by checking on the agenda and the notes that come out several weeks later. So, from a day-to-day business perspective, I'm very interested in the ongoing affordable housing discussions that have been happening, as well as the infrastructure improvements, such as the water line replacement, as well as the restroom replacement in Rain Garden Park, and how we're supporting our local businesses during the current economic situation.
What do you see as the city's most pressing issue?
Well, my answer to this question would have been different 6 months ago. In fact, it was very different 6 months ago. I'd say that the focus today really has to be revolving around COVID-19 and how it's continuing to spread and what we can do to flatten the curve there or try and bring it back down. So I definitely applaud the city currently providing face masks at the farmers market, reinforcing social distancing in our public spaces, while also going through the effort of supporting our local businesses with the parklets, for example, in downtown. So anything we can do today to help our local businesses survive, as well as preserve the things which will help preserve the things that we like so much about our community, we don't want is a bunch of empty storefronts. So I really appreciate the council support there. Once we get out of this crisis, there are other issues, of course, related to our growth. So whether that's managing growth responsibly, investing in our infrastructure, investing in housing affordability, how do we keep the community culture intact while acknowledging that we have some growing pains happening as a community? We are a growing city. So I'd love to see the city look at ways that can help diversify our employers of the region, including how we can support our local artists and craftspeople. And lastly, I'm a big fan of the city code cleanup, which I know is not necessarily a fun process, but important.
What experiences from your personal/professional life do you see as strengths in shaping how you would approach serving on city council?
Yeah, so I work from home. I'm the director of client delivery for a company based out of Connecticut. So I've worked in a lot of business operation scenarios with startups in my career. So what I think that brings to the table there is adaptability, an open mind to kind of different ideas and new ideas, and a curiosity to try things out, knowing that it might not work the first time around. Obviously, cities aren't necessarily built for startup culture of trying things and reiterating, but just having the curiosity to try new things, I think, is important. I know that one of the major components of being on a council, just from what I've observed, is listening. So you got to be open to other points of view. We're not always going to agree on everything. You want to hear people's frustrations. I know that that's important both in public comment as well as just when you're out with the public. From an experience perspective, I served as a vice president of the board for a nonprofit called Youth in Focus, which helps at-risk youth with photography. And so I think my strengths are really about problem solving, project management, operations management, and I think those are all transferable from my professional career to being a good council member. And I know there's obviously a lot of reading as well, and I'm very good at that.
What do you hope to accomplish if selected to serve on city council?
Well, aside from the response to the pandemic, which obviously has to be kind of number one for the time being, I think investing in our growth and smartly to preserve the character of our community while diversifying our economy as much as possible. So, for example, I know I've mentioned this before, but I'd love to see how we could support a business incubator, accelerator, making use of our highly educated workforce. I'm also a really big fan of looking into ways to promote the area's arts and culture. So I know we have the White Salmon Arts Council, but art is important to make a city livable and desirable to stay in. For example, the state has a program called the Certified Creative District. There's a few towns that have already applied for that and been certified as a Certified Creative District. And I think that's something that we could do that would be improve the livability of our community and also diversify our economy by supporting our artists. And then lastly, anything we can do to support the pool park district, build the pool. That pool has been part of our community for more than 80 years. And so anything to kind of make sure that stays on track, which, is always a concern considering where we're at economically.
Very good. That concludes my questions. Do you have any questions for the council?
I don't. Thank you for your time. Still very interested in being on the council, and appreciate your consideration.
All right. Hey, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Jim, we're going to leave you. We're not going to put you back in the waiting room, but if you could mute your video, that would be great.
Yes.
So for process, Jan, I think we can let everybody out. It looks like you're already doing it. Letting everybody back into the meeting.
Jenna, if you could mute your video. Thank you.
So then, do you have a method to for the council to retire to executive session? How's that going to work? Yes,
there's a separate Zoom in the email I sent you today underneath this instructions. There was a separate set of instructions for the executive session. It's set up on a different account than this. I'm going to use my phone. I'm going to mute my audio here so that, and then I might step off and so it doesn't show my picture, step off into another part of the room. And I'll start that meeting on a separate account.
Okay, good. And just for the council, you know, when we've done this in regular open sessions, you guys have done, you know, ranked balloting.
Yes.
Which worked fine when we were all together and we could all hand the ballot to the to Jan.
You're going to email them to me.
It was just what I was going to suggest. So ranking your choices, 1, 2, 3. Sorry about the noise. Then emailing those to Jan. And then Jan can tally up the numbers. And obviously it sounds like if you're scoring them 1, 2, 3 in that order, then the lowest number would prevail.
Yes.
That sound reasonable?
Yes.
So one point for the
first choice.
First choice. Okay.
One is number
one. Does that make
sense?
I did that last time.
Yeah. But
I don't think it matters.
Well, I'm open to other ideas. It just seemed like that was a simple way to do it.
So if you put Jan is number one, that's your number one choice. If you put Ashley as number two, that's your number two choice. If you put Joe as number three, that's your number three choice. And then what I'll do is I'll have like number one, all the names, number two, all the names, number four, all the names. And then when we come out, I'll inform you which one is the number one choice.
Okay, and just so the candidates are aware, there is no voting in this executive session. It's only to discuss qualifications. There will be no straw polling. I will not permit it. But any discussion generally of qualifications is a fair game in an executive session. But the actual vote has to take place outside the executive session.
And okay. So we'll need to know for how long you would like to go into executive session. And we'll be going into executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.1101G to discuss the qualification of candidates for the position of council member. For at?
I think 15 minutes.
6:40 or 15 minutes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave this recording running because it creates havoc if I pause it. Mm-hmm. We'll be, just for the audience, we're going to be leaving this meeting and going into executive session.
She's muted. Jan, you're muted.
So just to let the public know, we'll be adding council members in here in just a few minutes and we'll resume the meeting. One more minute, Jason.
All right.
We're ready to go.
Okay, 6:55, we'll call the White Salmon City Council meeting back to session. And we'd like to start off by thanking the applicants for the City Council position. Again, I know it's not an easy thing to do to step up or stick your neck out, so to speak. We appreciate it very much. It was a very difficult decision. All three of you were extremely qualified. We would be lucky to have all of you on the City Council. Unfortunately, that's not an option. What we would ask is, if you aren't selected, if you still stay involved, if you can. We have committees, all kinds of committees that could use support. We have openings for citizens, for committees. It's a great way to make an impact in the city, and write letters, just stay involved. There are a lot of ways to make a difference, and especially in this small city. So we encourage you to do that. And I guess without further ado, we will now vote. Is that right?
You'll send your rankings to me.
Okay. So again, counselors, you're put a number one by your first choice, a number two by your second choice, and a number three by your third choice. Don't reply all, just send them just to Jan. Should we copy Ken or anything, or?
No, just send them to me.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we got David. Has everybody voted?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I just want to make sure I'm doing this right. So. Okay, so I had talked to Ken earlier about whether you wanted me to read the rankings for each candidate, the overall ranking, or if you just want me to tell you who is number one.
I think we could, if you just tell us who was the first choice, I think that would be adequate.
Okay, so Jim Rensier was your first choice.
Okay. Well, again, Jenna and Susan, thank you very much. And Jim, welcome to the team.
You do need to make a motion to appoint.
All right. Can I have that motion?
Ashley, you're muted.
So sorry. I will make the motion to appoint Jim Rensier to City Council position number 4.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, moved by Ashley Post, seconded by David Lindley. Jan, take a roll call vote, please.
David Lindley?
Aye.
Joe Turkowitz?
Aye.
Ashley Post?
Aye.
And Mayor Pro Tem?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. Thanks all very much. Next agenda item. Sorry. Resolution 2020-07-503, establishing a sole source provider and authorizing the purchase and installation of telemetry equipment. Presentation and discussion.
I'll be making that presentation for Pat.
Okay, great. Thank you.
What this resolution does, and Ken can fill in where needed, the city has several turbidity meters at Buck Creek, the water slow sand filtration plant. Those meters are necessary to measure the turbidity of the water. And that measurement is a requirement of the Washington State Department of Health. Our current meters need to be replaced as they're not functioning correctly. And our current telemetry system, SCADA system, is specifically programmed to work with a certain brand of meters, in this case, Hawk meters, H-A-C-H. I sent you an updated form of this resolution earlier. And so because the city needs to purchase a specific brand, a resolution's needed establishing a sole source provider and authorizing the purchase and installation of that equipment using that sole source provider. Just as a note, the memo includes the correct resolution number, but on the resolution it says 2020-04502. It's actually 2020-07503. That is reflected in the agenda memo. And staff is recommending the City Council adopt resolution 2020-07503, establishing a sole source provider and authorizing the purchase and installation of telemetry equipment. And that sole source provider is Hawk, H-A-C-H.
All right, any discussion? I have a quick question. I didn't see even what kind of dollars we're talking about for this sole source contract.
Russ might be able to tell you, but he'll need to unmute first.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice job.
Their, each turbidity meter is roughly about $3,000. So there's a total of 4 up there. This year we'd like to go ahead and replace 2 of them that are pretty worn out, and we can't get parts for them anymore. So this year we definitely need to buy 2. And then next year we would like to replace the other 2.
And as it was explained to me by Pat, This is a temporary fix. In a couple of years, we're going to change out this whole system so that everything is compatible. Everything works together. Right now, it's a little patchwork, and I think Public Works would like. It's in our future budgeting to switch out this whole system. So this is a temporary fix.
Yes.
Let's see, and how much are we talking when we get to the point of the real fix? If this is a Band-Aid, I guess.
Well, the real fix includes redoing the entire telemetry system. We currently have a consulting contract, and because of changeovers between Kevin and Russ, we're getting everybody together to kind of review the work that they had previously done on that contract and seeing if there needs to be any updates. They'll finalize their recommendations and specifications. And then as part of that, they'll give us an estimate on cost for updating that SCADA system. I'd imagine it's thousands of dollars. So it's going to be much more than the 6,000 we're going to spend on turbidity meters.
Oh yeah, right. I'm just curious how much the band
computers and programming and software and.
Got it. Okay, any more discussion? Joe, you had a question?
I was just curious if these things could work with the future system and maybe for backup, or is it one of those things that's just a stopgap as a bridge between the old and the new system?
I think they should be able to work with the new system. They're a new laser turbidimeter that just came out, so I believe they'll be compatible.
Part of our problem, Joe, is that we have a programming system in our telemetry that is a third-party specialized programming, and the goal is for the new telemetry system is to use standardized telemetry software that's used in most processing plants. I'm familiar with that, as I sure is Russ, in working with the Dallasport Wastewater Treatment Plant and Bingen's wastewater and water telemetry system. And so for whatever reason, back when they hired a programmer to design this program, and it's been challenging at best for many years.
Okay, can I have a motion? Or specifically, can I have a motion to adopt resolution 2020-07-503, establishing a sole source provider and authorizing the purchase and installation of telemetry equipment?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All right, moved by Joe Turkowitz, seconded by Ashley Post. Jan, will you take a roll call vote, please?
David Lindley?
Aye.
Ashley Post?
Aye.
Joe Turkowitz?
Aye.
Jason Hartman?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. Item 3, cost sharing agreement between City of White Salmon and Yakima Nation. Presentation by Jan Brending, please.
Yes. So this is the kind of the third piece of the funding project for the White Salmon Source Reliability Study. The Yakima Nation is providing $20,000 in funding. We went back and forth several times on the agreement language. All the attorneys, including our city attorney, have agreed on the language that was sent to you today. Basically, it deleted three paragraphs out, 7.03, 04, and 05, I believe. And so you have that in front of you, and staff is recommending authorizing the mayor to sign that agreement.
All right, start with discussion.
Yeah, David Lindley, I just wanted to state for the record, I'm out of abundance of caution, I'm going to recuse myself from this topic in voting, just so there's no appearance of conflict. Given my day job is I'm the aquatic habitat coordinator for the tribe in the mid-Columbia. So I've tried to stay distant from this one, but you know, I oversee staff who advocate for projects like this. That said, regardless of what hat you're wearing, I think this is a great, great step forward.
Awesome. Is there any formal steps we need to take, Ken, to recuse David from this vote? I mean, we still have a quorum.
Now that's David's choice. If he decides to recuse, he's recused.
Okay. All right. Unless there's further discussion, can I have a motion to authorize the mayor pro tem to sign cost sharing agreement between City of White Salmon and Yakima Nation, providing a grant in the amount not to exceed $20,000 for work related to White Salmon River Source Reliability Study.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay, moved by Ashley Post, seconded by Joe Turkowitz.
Ashley Post?
Aye.
Joe Turkowitz?
Aye.
Jason Hartman?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, and the fourth and final item, I'm not sure I have it pulled up actually.
It's the change order number 2 for the Dewitt Water Main Project.
There we go, thank you.
So as the city's been going through replacing the water main, they have run into a number of stormwater issues along Jewett Boulevard, specifically from First Street or Riverwatch Drive east to First Street. And so the stormwater systems needed to be restored. As I stated here in the memo, cost was agreed to on a lump sum basis, including all materials, labor, and equipment, except for the surface restoration, that's the asphalt, which will be paid at the unit price that's already included in the original contract. Because the construction involves storm water, the funding comes from our street fund. The amount of the change order is $25,262.50, increasing the contract price from $2,319,810.23 to $2,345,072.73. Staff recommends authorizing the mayor, and then in this case, it will need to be Marla because she's a signer related to this USDA project, to sign change order number 2 in the amount of $25,262.50.
All right. Can I have a motion to authorize mayor to sign change order number 2 for Jewett Water Main Improvements in the amount of $25,262.50 with funding coming from the street fund?
Make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, moved by Joe Turkowitz, seconded by Ashley Post.
David Lindley?
And is there any more discussion?
Right.
Sorry about that. Still got the training wheels on. Hearing no discussion, Jan, will you take a vote, please?
David Lindley?
Aye.
Ashley Post?
Aye.
Joe Turkowitz?
Aye.
Jason Hartman?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. I think last but not least, we are onto the consent agenda. Let's see. And vouchers in the amount of $394,951.84. I'm not finding the consent agenda.
It's just the vouchers and the meeting minutes of July 1st.
Okay. Does anyone have anything they would like removed from the consent agenda? Okay, hearing none, could I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, the meeting minutes, and the vouchers in the amount of $394,951.84?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Moved by David Lindley and seconded by Joe Turkowitz. Jen, can we have a roll call vote, please?
David Lindley.
Aye.
Ashley Post.
Aye.
Joe Turkowitz.
Aye.
Jason Hartman.
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. That is our agenda. Lastly, we have department heads once around. Chief Heppner, will you go first, please?
Yes. Hi, everyone. As Hi. Always, feel free to ask me questions and I'll answer. Last night, two nights ago was sad. A Bothell officer was killed in line of duty. It's located about 15 miles northeast of Seattle. Two of the officers were shot, one died at the scene. Things are picking up. It's a little busier around here. Quite a few calls the last couple of weeks. That's it for me, unless you have questions. No questions?
Questions, great, yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Chief.
Appreciate I also it. Wanted to add, David has started his ride-alongs. He's done one. He did it on the 4th of July, the night of 4th of July. It was great having him. The officer enjoyed it, and I'm scheduling him for a couple more. And always, as always, if any of you want to do a ride-along, just get a hold of me.
Awesome. That's cool. All right, Russ?
Crestline's doing pretty good. They set the PRV vaults today. I think they're going to start tying those over next week, and they'll continue doing fire hydrant installations and the water line services, street crossings the rest of this week. And maybe possibly pressure testing next week. We've got two more parklets to build, looks like. One for Feast and one for, I think, where Pioneer Pizza used to be. So, and in between all that, we're trying to do some pothole repairs.
All right. Yeah, here we hear a lot about the potholes.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much. Bill?
Hi, everybody. Good to see y'all. 4th of July, although it was noisy and there was lots of stuff going on, we survived another year without any call-outs to fires. That was us, Bingen and Fire District 3, so Southwest Fire, no tone-outs. It was a good, quiet day, even though there were a lot of fireworks going on. So we were always thankful about that. Nothing bad happening. Other than that, just any questions for any of that you guys may have of me?
No.
Yeah, David Lindley. One question, Bill. This goes back. We did have one tree meeting early in the year, and you'd referenced DNR doing some thinning around the city. Did that ever move forward, or did that get put on hold with the pandemic?
I've had questions about it that Alan Lawson, who was leading that, would love to have some movement on that, but I don't know if it's something we can do through this time or not. So right now it's been on hold, just waiting for permission. So.
Okay, thanks.
Questions for Bill? Moving on, Ken.
Well, I'm not sure Jim was present when we talked about swearing in, but you will need to be sworn in. Jan, you said, and I think we also noted that should be in person, and I think Jan's going to be available at some point. You want to let Jim know when you will be available?
Yes. I'm in the I'll give him a call tomorrow, and we'll make arrangements to have that done either tomorrow or Friday.
All right. Well, that's all I had.
Great. Thank you very much. Jan?
So we've done two city halls in the park last Tuesday and this Tuesday. People were thrilled to be able to pick up blue recycling bags.
Nice.
Signed up. Yes. 62 people, and that's that's adults and kids, for access to the Hood River Pool. We've given away quite a few masks. I think most of the people that shop at farmers markets have already done the census. They're the type of people that have that mindset. But if you're out and about or and you're on Facebook or something, keep encouraging people to fill out the census, because we are woefully behind in doing that. Currently, Klickitat County is in phase two. The governor has extended the pause on moving into new phases to July 28th. Mm-hmm. He's also warned the state that he is giving serious consideration of moving backwards. I hope that doesn't happen. I don't know, like, there's quite a few people who are in phase three, so I don't know what he means by moving backwards. As you know, in California, they've closed everything back down again. So I think he's taken some really cautious steps so that we don't have to do that, and I'm hoping we don't. When we are allowed to move into phase three, I will bring office staff back. And then a few days later, we will actually open City Hall to the public. We will have some pretty extreme distancing requirements because our lobby is so small. We'll have signage up that allows one person in the lobby at the time. And then we'll have the lovely 6-foot markers out on the walkway so that people can wait in line. Mainly our blue bag people. and so we'll be hopefully moving into that. I'm going to be on vacation next week and the following week, but monitoring emails and phone calls just to keep up on stuff and developing COVID-19 plans for staff to come back in. We do need to have a budget committee meeting. It'll most likely be a Zoom meeting. My suspicion is I'll schedule that for the week of August 10th. I think that's you, Jason, and David Lindley, and then Scott Clements. We believe that there will be a planning commission meeting on August 12th. We'll resume working on the comprehensive plan. We are starting to get a lot of questions about submitting short plats, conditional use permits. Most short plats and conditional use permits are administrative decisions made by staff, so they don't go to the Planning Commission or to the City Council. The conditional use permits are related to accessory dwelling units. We had a number of those that were on pause when the moratorium was in place. So we're
officially ended, correct?
Basically, we told people as of today it was done, and so people are lining up to submit tomorrow.
6 feet.
We have a zone change that was put on pause at the time of the moratorium. They have submitted a request for me to review what it is they need to do to proceed with that. That zone change will initially, the public hearing will be held before the Planning Commission, and then the Planning Commission will make a recommendation to the City Council, and then you would actually take action on it. So we'll have to work through the public hearing Zoom process, most likely. We're still looking at, if we do move into phase three, some kind of possible hybrid in-person meetings for at least the council members and or the planning commission, and then having cameras set up and then having the audience by Zoom teleconference.
Jan, on that zone change, does that also include a comp plan revision? And if so, do we have one available for the year?
It will require a comprehensive, you're right. We need to look at that.
I don't know.
I'll talk to you about that tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
We may have to delay that because we can only do one comprehensive.
Right.
The reality is we're not probably going to update the comprehensive plan this year. But don't they have to be like a year apart or something? Or
well, I mean, some of my other cities schedule their comp plan revisions sort of in bulk at the end of the calendar year.
Right.
And knowing that they can't do it again until the end of the following calendar year.
Right.
I don't know the timing of our last comp plan revision, but yes, you're right. It has to be an annual, at least annual, and it's in its calendar annual. So you have to look at when we did it last. And if we can do, but we can't do it twice. So, yeah.
Right. So what my question was, is it's been a long time since we did a comp plan amendment. So we're clearly outside of the calendar year. But I'll need to look at the schedule for updating the comprehensive plan. Right. We don't intend to adopt a new comprehensive plan this year. And so I probably just need to meet with the consultants and figure out what time in 2020 we're going to do that. And will there be...
We can talk about that offline.
Right.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. But thank you for reminding me of that.
All right. All right, city councilors, any committee or other updates? Starting with you, Ashley.
I don't have any updates. I just want to say welcome to Jim. And thanks for your willingness to do this.
Awesome. Joe?
Nothing on trash. Little bit of stuff. Chief Heppner was, I saw him out on the street the other day. I've heard from several people on Juana Street about their concern about the people's speed on there. So there might be something forthcoming on that. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I heard from the person who made the call that they were happy to see the police presence, and we appreciate that. And also thanks, Jim, and thanks everybody else for turning in an application and making a presentation, and hope to see you on a committee.
Awesome. David?
Yeah, I'll just give a brief update on a couple of topics I brought up last update. I did end up taking delivery of 6,000 donated masks from Tom Ben Bagmaker in Seattle. And through just a little bit of outreach, they were quickly spoken for. So I distributed those 6,000 through the Next Door. Next Door Comunidades, the Yakima Nation, White Salmon Valley School District, and then Klickitat Valley Health Hospital. So,
all right.
Yeah, went quick, and I may get more as well. Vendor wants to continue to support this area in Eastern Washington. And then the other topic, as Chief Heppner mentioned, I did do a ride along with Officer Ed Gunyon on July 4th, and it was an eye-opening experience. It was good to observe and spend 5 hours driving around with someone, getting to know them, and bouncing all sorts of questions and ideas off them. So it's time well spent, and I look forward to additional ride-alongs with different officers.
That's great. Awesome. Joe, go ahead.
Dave, I just had a question at what time your ride-along was.
9 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Wow.
On 4th of July. Good for you, man.
Good for you.
The hot time.
Nice. I think just me left. I'm still in talks with Underwood Conservation and with Dirt Hugger about the potential. We missed the deadline for that grant for composting, but it was kind of a bar too high. We have an ongoing conversation, and I'll bring Joe into the conversation eventually since he's on the Solid Waste Committee. Pat Munyon is setting up a meeting with Republic. Apparently they are interested in the potential of hauling curbside compost for us. Again, it would solve a few problems. One, the big one is landfill abatement of both household organics or food waste and also, yard debris. I think it would be a big plus. And then the other one, and so that, we're going to take some time to formulate a plan, and then we'll get the, the community more involved as we kind of, as the plan starts to formulate. But the other one is I'm dying to get rid of those blue recycle bags. you know, we ban single-use plastics and white salmon, yet we have throwaway bags that we put our recycling in. So I think it's a bit of a an oxymoron in that regard. One hill at a time, but we'll, you know, see if in parallel to our curbside compost, we can get some sort of a cart or some, you know, a recycling, recycling conveyance, so we're not creating more trash with our recycling.
So Jason, my daughter lives in Boise and Republic serves Boise, and they use a bin that's just like the garbage bin, but it's, I think they're usually different colors.
Yeah.
So it's just like the ones that we have here, those totes. It's just a different color and everybody puts their recycling in it. I know there they had some issues, you know, just like how we have here, the certain things that people could recycle, then people couldn't recycle. And Boise had this orange bag program, but, you know, just to kind of separate stuff out there. I know Boise started a small curbside recycling program. It was on a very small scale. I don't know what the status of that is yet. I don't know if
you mean compost? Yeah.
I don't know if Republic was doing it or if it was something that Boise themselves were doing.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to figure out what the options are, what the costs are, everything before we, like I said, you know, formalize a plan. But Pat reached out to Republic and they said they are willing and available to haul compost. So we'll see. And that's it for me. Anybody else? All right. Well, I think that brings our July 15th, 2020 City Council meeting to a close.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.